In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
Let's start that over.
Why? You didn't like the... No, we're keeping it. This
Fine.
Is James.
This is Mike.
And this is apparently, according to Mike, our 25th episode.
Well, I hope it is. Otherwise, I'm drastically completely off.
I did counting, too. I went on the YouTubes.
Oh, you counted on the YouTubes?
And I went the ones and the twos. Do I need to keep going?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, I counted them, too. I was kind of interested when you told me that it was going to be the 25th. I was like, seriously? We've done that many of them?
Yeah. I was like, well, I was counting up to the episodes that we were doing. I was like, son of a gun, it's already hit that quick.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel somewhat accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever done any specific thing like this for this amount of time.
No,
in a row.
No. It's pretty, like, I don't know. I think it's really cool. Like, and I kind of feel like 25 is, it's not like a major milestone. It's not 100. We'll do this at 100.
Yeah.
But
well, we'll do it at the 1 year anniversary.
And we'll do it at a year.
Like,
yeah.
52, right?
Yeah, 52 correct? Episodes.
And then we'll do it at 100, and then we'll do it at like some random number, maybe a prime number for all the super nerds that listen to us. There are no super nerds that listen to us. But hey, we can hope, can't
are
we?
Are there prime numbers above 100? I don't
hey,
know
hey,
that.
Any math nerds or any even just any non-math nerds who are smarter than Mike, comment. Let him know.
It's yes. Okay, there's plenty. There's
there are
plenty.
Lots of prime numbers above 100.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh. Like, I did not know that.
I don't know, 111. How's that one? I just pulled that out of my butt.
Oh, yeah, you're
try
right.
Try to on. Divide that by anything other than itself and one.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, lots of prime numbers there.
I never really got deep and rich into the prime numbers game.
What was the highest math class you took, first of all? Just so we can get a baseline here.
I took trig. I repeated
you
algebra 1.
You did take trig?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Well, algebra 2 and trig were thrown into the same class.
Okay, that's interesting. That's mm-hmm. an interesting combination.
But that was the highest. There was actually, I think there was pre-calc was the next class, and I was going to take pre-calc, but I... repeated algebra.
Did you take oak math?
What the hell's oak math?
Gee, I'm a tree.
Oh.
Hey, man, I'm a dad. I get the right to do the dad jokes.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you that one. Wow. I'm impressed.
Like, you know what's popular in my house when it comes to jokes? I'm
what's
doing
that?
A little quick segue, then we can go back to talking about math. Knock-knock jokes.
Okay.
Knock-knock jokes are really popular. My younger
like
boy,
bad knock knock jokes or knock knock jokes
in
general.
It's like the same ones over and over again.
Okay.
Because you teach the kids a couple of jokes and they like to just do the same jokes.
They're new at this.
My younger boy, his favorite is the orange banana knock knock joke.
Oh yes,
you know the orange banana.
Yeah.
But like normally it's like you get you get banana and then orange. Glad I didn't say banana. Right. Yeah, when you do it with him, it's like banana, 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 banana. Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? Like, seriously, you get that. It lasts for freaking ever. It's like a 5-minute long joke.
Well, he realizes the farther out he makes it,
yeah.
The funnier it is at the end.
Well, it's funny for him.
Oh,
we're,
yeah.
We're just like, what the hell, dude?
Screw but you, man. He's the one who just gets to still, think it's funny.
It's still funny. My personal favorite, I have two. First one is
okay.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
I love Doctor.
I love Doctor Who.
So do I. It's a great show, isn't it? I like that one. And then the other one that's my favorite. You actually have to start.
Knock knock.
Come in. I love that one. I like doing that to people too. When they try to do a knock knock joke, they'll do the knock knock, and I'll be come in. Like, no, you do you not know how to do a knock-knock joke? Maybe I don't. Anyway, sorry, back to math.
Back to math.
Back to math.
Back to math.
So geometry, did you take the geometry stuff?
Yep, I took some geometry.
I've actually used.
It's probably the last time I took geometry was like, well, technically I used a slight bit of geometry when I did some studio design in college.
Okay. I used geometry when I was ordering food.
What?
Pizza, dude.
You don't use geometry to order food. You just say you want something on it. No, the geometry is done by the chef.
Okay, so should you get two medium 12-inch pizzas or one large 14-inch pizza?
How many people are you feeding?
That's irrelevant. I'm just saying, which one is going to be your better amount of pizza? See,
I would say the two
involved.
Medium 12s.
They also
cost more than the 114.
But actually, you're wrong. The 114 actually has more surface area of pizza.
Interesting. Okay.
Math. I know. It's weird, but it works. At least I think those are the right measurements. I will get the exact measurements. But
the pieces are so gargantuanly large and strange to handle.
That's what she said. No.
Damn it, James.
Seriously? Hold on a second. Okay. First of all, if you get a pizza, right?
Okay.
No, actually, I'm just going to go back to your original question. What kind of a question is it for you to ask how many people you're getting the pizza for? I'm thinking of two mediums and one large. That's for one person. And if that's not for one person, you are not eating your pizza right, sir. Two mediums, that's enough for one person. One large, that's enough for one person. Again, if you are not eating your pizza right, that's your problem. Now, I'm not saying you're going to eat it all in one night. Hold on. I'm not saying you're going to eat all that pizza in one night or in one sitting.
Okay, that's different.
I'm saying that if I'm ordering a pizza, I'm ordering a pizza thinking I'm going to eat it that day, and I'm going to have it for lunch tomorrow, and I'll probably have it for an after-dinner snack tomorrow as well.
It's a lot of pizza.
I'm fat. Point being, I'm going to try to enjoy the pizza.
Okay.
It's like, it's hard for me to leave your house anymore after we do these podcasts and not go to the pizza place that we had pizza at and pick myself up a pizza.
That pizza place is really good.
That's pretty good. Although, you know what? We talk about different restaurants, so I guess it's okay promoting things now. There's a place in Yuba City.
Okay.
The Dancing Tomato.
My sister worked there. I think she works there now.
Yeah, she may. It's kind of a mixture of an Italian restaurant and like has a bunch of other food.
Yeah.
But they do a special from like 4 to 6, a happy hour special of different foods.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you this 8-inch personal pizza.
Nice.
With 3 toppings for $6.99.
That's a lot of food for $7?
Yes. And it actually tastes like it. They have like a brick oven. I don't think they do, but it tastes like they have a brick oven in there
because
it's got nice kind of scorch almost on the bottom crust.
Yeah.
And the outside crust has a nice chew to it, but also a nice kind of crunch to the outside exterior of it.
Legit.
And it's really good. Not too bad on the sauce, more than enough cheese. And the toppings were, I would say, fairly ample. I had a pepperoni, bacon, and mushroom.
Wow. All
right. Which are I mean...
No, I'm down on that.
Those are good toppings for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know you're a weird one that would probably put the ham instead of the pepperoni. Because if I remember correctly, don't you like ham over pepperoni?
I do. I don't like ham over pepperoni. I like ham with pepperoni.
Oh, you like them together.
I will also have ham with other things. But my favorite combination at least starts with the two foundations of ham and pepperoni. I may also add Italian sausage if they have it.
Yes.
Right? And pepperoni, Italian sausage.
Meat is good. Throw some bacon on. I'm good at
that. Yeah, and I'm down with bacon. I'm down with bacon, like the bacon bits and that kind of stuff.
Put the meat on the pizza. I like it.
I'm right there too. And now, don't get me wrong, the veggies are good there too.
Interesting. I like the flavor of the veggies on a pizza, but the consistency of the way that they're cooked, they give a weird like crunch to them, like the onions and the bell peppers.
Mm-hmm.
They give like a weird crunch to the bites that I'm not overly fond of.
I'm not like really fond of onions on pizza, like white onion.
The flavor
onion.
Is good, but the actual onion itself is.
You know what? The white onion I can get behind you on that. I'm allergic to red onion, so I can't ever have that.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
I'll remember that.
But the bell pepper, I'm down.
I think I remember that
down.
From before. Because I think we had to make sure years ago that we made salsa and or pico and made sure that we used white onion instead of the red onion for you.
And which we typically do anyway. I am a huge fan of white onion and pico.
Yeah, we do. We,
pico, I the mean, guy was awesome.
We do that anyway. But but no,
thank you.
The meat on the pizza. That's the way to go. I'm cool with some specialty things like I'll eat a chicken bacon artichoke pizza. Okay. Artichoke's pretty good on a pizza.
Artichoke is really good on pizza.
Spinach can be good
actually.
On a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really more of a meat person when it comes to the pizza, you know, just throw some meat on there and mushrooms. I don't know what it is. Mushrooms, even olives, they just work on pizza.
Dude. Okay. I was wondering what you were going to say, because mushrooms and olives are dope on pizza.
They are. They're good in a salad. They're good. Olives like make a sandwich. I don't know what it is, but like throw a little bit of olives in the sandwich and,
you're talking like a Subway style sandwich, the open face sandwich or something.
So, okay. If you're at Subway, what are you getting? What's your go-to?
I will go with either. Now I'm kind of plain when it comes down to the base meats. So I will either do like the Italian or the cold cut combo.
Okay. Okay.
I start there.
So you want multiple meats?
Yes. I'm a multiple meats guy.
I will say this for all of our people listening that are full on carnivores.
Mm-hmm.
None of you vegans or vegetarians listening, you can cover your ears right now for all the horror I'm about to do. The fact that we have the capability to do something that no other carnivore gets to do on this planet and eat multiple animals at one time by having like a piece of roast beef and a piece of chicken and a piece of turkey and a piece of bacon. Like I've thought of having a hamburger that was like hamburger patty, fried chicken patty, bacon, right? I don't know, something to do with turkey, and then to throw another animal on there just so that we can get something else. Thought of putting some foie gras on there. Not a fan of foie gras, nor am I a fan of what has to be done to get foie gras.
I'm not familiar with foie gras.
Fatty goose liver. They actually have to abuse the geese by force feeding them food.
That's terrible.
Until their liver gets all super fat, and then it's like supposed to be super rich, and I'd probably only do it once just to have it in the one burger because I think it's animal abuse. While I love to eat animals, I don't want to abuse them for me to eat them. I just want to kill them and eat them as humanely as possible.
I get that.
But to have as many different layers of animal as possible, like I love making sandwiches at home that have that. Have your roast beef, have your turkey, have your chicken, have your bacon on there.
Yeah.
And I mean, technically, I don't know if you consider eggs protein or not. I mean, let me rephrase, eggs an animal or not? Because, egg would be another version of chicken. But anyway, point being, I love making sandwiches like that. So you have the cold cut combo or the Italian that has multiple meats. And then do you veggie it all up or do you like
I add some veggies to it. Veggie? Okay, so there's like two or three major sandwiches I get over at Subway. Yeah. If I just want to ignore the possibility of being healthy in any which way.
Yes.
Meatball sub.
Bread. What bread?
I do it on the Italian.
Okay, just the basic Italian.
You
don't do it on the cheese and
that's the one.
The cheesy one?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so I do that on the cheesy bread, but then what I do is I do the meatball marinara with the provolone.
Provolone. Okay. Uh-huh. I
melt the provolone, but then I add olives, I add bell peppers,
So you're kind of almost lasagna-ing it, basically.
Kind of. It's not too much added to it, but I will do like put some oregano on it, No, they don't have Parmesan there.
Is it really oregano, totally throw Mike? Is it really oregano?
I mean, I don't know. I don't regulate their.
True. So, but you're not like a monster and put like mayonnaise and mustard and stuff like that on it.
Oh Lord, no! Why would you do that? That's disgusting.
Dude, no, I know a group of people.
They put mayonnaise and mustard on a meatball marinara.
No,
sub?
They put mayonnaise on their chili dogs. When they do a chili dog, they open up the bun, they put mayonnaise down first, then dog, then chili, then cheese, and whatever else you might put on it. Mayonnaise first on the bun.
The only white condiment that belongs on a chili dog is sour cream.
Or onions.
Are those considered a condiment?
Nah, topping, so not quite condiment. Okay.
I mean,
so
I throw some sour cream.
You throw sour cream on there?
Sour cream, a little bit of cheese. Not a large amount, a small bit of it.
But yeah, no, I'm serious. Mayonnaise on the chili dog.
That's interesting.
It's a family thing. I've never seen any other group of people do this. I'm going to get in so much trouble for this, but yes.
I am shocked.
It's shocking to watch it happen. It really is.
This is, now, dude, hot dog.
Real quick.
Hot dog connoisseurs, by the way, absolutely hate some of the things I do.
Oh, you ketchup it.
I ketchup hot dog.
Yeah.
I ketchup on a hot dog.
I ketchup hot dogs too, depending.
I'll ketchup on a hot dog, even if it's Chicago style. Now, I don't care.
Now, hold on. For me, with that, it depends on how much money I paid for the hot dogs. So if I buy like the cheap, like bar S Franks.
Right.
Then I'm ketchuping and mustarding and putting chili dogging and whatever.
Okay.
If I go and spend money on like a really good hot dog that doesn't have a normal brand name that has a jingle attached to it, and I'm paying like for four hot dogs, I'm paying like $10.
Okay.
One, I'm the only person in my house eating those because I'm not sharing with everybody else because nobody else in
my house
appreciates hot dogs to the level that I do.
Yeah.
They'll eat them, but they don't appreciate them like I do.
Right.
And then I'm eating them with nothing because I just bun and hot dog because I want the true flavor.
Right,
of what I'm doing. But back to your sandwich. So if you're not worrying about health at Subway, you're getting your meatball sub.
I'm doing the meatball marinara with, and like the healthiest thing I'll throw on there is bell pepper. But the rest of it's going to be like slathered in cheese, give me extra sauce, throw some olives on it, throw the oregano on it. Like, yes, toast the hell out of it too.
So you're a toaster.
I'm most of the time mild toasting, but I will toast the hell out of a meatball marinara.
So the meatball you want the toasting.
Okay. I want that thing like...
Now see, I have one thing I get when I go there. One thing. And this will be, this again, for the people who've actually gone to Subway with me on multiple occasions, they will laugh at me reading it off because I'm very specific about my order, but I get the same thing every single time.
I don't want to guess this, so I want you
Actually, go ahead and give me a guess. What do you think I get?
I'm just going to throw it out there and say it's a veggie delight.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Close, though.
Oh, really?
Close, though.
Okay. What do you want?
What are you doing? I get the BLT.
BLT's good.
Not a whole lot of bacon in it. Now, I have doubled, and actually, one wonderful night, my wife went with one of her sisters, because that's how things go usually. They went to Subway at one point to get us some food, and she went and ordered it as a double to try to treat me. I think it was near my birthday or near something, so she was trying to treat me by getting me the double bacon in there.
Right.
It was at the very end of the night when they were closing up. And they basically gave me all the bacon they had left because they were, my wife and her sister were like the last customer. So it was more like a triple bacon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there was so much bacon in that sandwich. There was like almost a pound of bacon in that sandwich.
Okay, that's awesome.
It was so beautiful.
And a half. Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
All down with that.
I get the BLT. I get it with Swiss cheese.
Okay.
Because that's the only, the Swiss and the provolone are the only ones that I'll eat from Subway, but I like the Swiss cheese.
The rest of like American isn't really a
No, it's not really
good
cheese.
Thing. I'm not really, I don't know what it is about their Jack cheese.
Where does American cheese belong? Where does American cheese belong, Mike?
I don't know. Where does American cheese belong?
In the garbage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so.
Okay, I was going to say, that's. So I get the provolone, right?
No, I get the Swiss.
You get the Swiss.
I get the Swiss. But I don't have it toasted. Don't want the toasted bread. I want the soft bread.
Okay.
The bread doesn't matter. Depending on how I'm feeling, I'll do the wheat. I'll do the regular Italian. I'll do the one with the herbs and cheese and whatnot.
The bread's not
important to me. At least on a regular, I just change it up. The bread is the changeable thing.
Okay.
So mayonnaise, mustard, and their chipotle.
Oh, the chipotle stuff is great.
Very good.
Yeah.
But then when veggies come around, I get lettuce, I get spinach, I get the bell pepper, I get tomato, if the tomatoes look good. Sometimes Subway's tomatoes look good, sometimes they look a little eh.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, you kind of got to, you got to feel those out, take a look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olives, for sure. But the only things I don't get, and pickles, got to have the pickles on there. The only things I don't really get are the like banana peppers and the pepperoncinis.
Oh, I love those.
I'm not a big fan of those. So I get everything else on there. So it's like a veggie delight with a little bit of bacon and cheese.
I'm okay with that. That sounds pretty good, actually.
It is, because it's like you have a salad bread with a little bit of bacon flavor in it.
Yeah, okay.
It's amazing. I get the same thing basically every single time I go in there. It's rare. I think the last time I had a different sandwich from Subway was probably about 10 years ago.
What'd you have? Do you remember?
It was a meatball.
Oh, okay.
That was the only other thing I used to like. long day ago.
I have to be in the mood for a meatball sandwich.
Yeah, so did I. And a long, long, long time ago when I first started going to Subway, I was very sheltered when it came to my childhood, when it came to fast food places. Mm-hmm. My mother was very selective about the fast food places we went to. So I went to like McDonald's and Burger King and Jack in the Box. But like anywhere
else. How selective?
Else, yeah, anywhere else we were not branching out from. It was just the standard.
So you never did like Taco Bell? You never did A&W?
Never Taco Bell. A&W only if my dad took us somewhere and not my mom.
Oh, okay.
KFC sometimes with my mom because she liked the chicken.
Yeah, KFC.
But like Heart Attack Central.
Which one?
Long John Silver's. Sorry. Never got to go there as a kid.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh,
never
man.
Never got to go there as a kid.
Hush Puppies, bro.
And, oh, yes, I know. Taco Bell, my mother's the type to put ketchup on tacos, man. That's not somebody going to take his Taco Bell. I know. Ketchup on eggs, too.
People are getting... Oh, yeah. Okay. Ketchup on eggs makes more sense than ketchup on tacos. No,
I know. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I mean, like, people get on me for putting ketchup on a hot dog, man. Ketchup on a taco?
Yes. Hold on now.
You broke me, man.
You've made hot dogs into burritos before, technically.
You're damn right, and they're actually not half bad. That's still technically bread. Yes. I will take a hot dog, I will wrap it in a tortilla, and I will throw that in the microwave, especially when I'm high. And it's fantastic when I do that. I will just let you know right now.
the lesson we've learned, Mike gets high. Moving on.
Not on a regular basis, just every once in a while. And when I do it, I'm extremely careful, just in case. Confession to my parents, if you're listening. When I do smoke, and it's not like a big deal, it's legal now, but when I do smoke, it's like once every 6 months, and I'm making sure I'm not doing thing.
If your parents are really honest with themselves, they're probably like, really?
Yeah,
really?
That's the worst
Poser?
You do?
That's the worst? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm and disappointed
I, and
in
I
you.
Bet you they're No, I bet you they're fine with that. Yeah, but, that's me. That's my stoner meal is like I smoke a bowl, I have a hot dog wrapped in a tortilla, a bag of Doritos, and I'm playing video games, and I'm just like till I fall asleep.
I worry because I've never done that enough to have any kind of a meal involved with it.
Oh, well, no, you don't plan. You just do that.
No,
that's the thing. You're not going to cook anything.
No, I am fairly positive that it would be, for me, it would be cereal, and I would literally eat like every cereal in the house.
All the cereal. And,
probably
okay.
In one giant
no, totally.
Bowl.
Yeah.
All the cereal. And
combine
the
them all.
I can totally see me doing that.
Dude, yes. Okay. See, and that makes perfect sense.
Or if there's ice cream, all of the ice cream would be gone.
Okay.
And not just, I do mean all of the ice cream.
You would take
gone.
All of the ice cream, scoop it all out of the pints are.
No,
you're going to have a
no,
six-pint
no,
bowl.
No.
What?
No. Why no? would I scoop it out of the pints? That's a waste of time.
Oh, you
would
just
have
open
like
the pint.
Three different
oh,
things in
have
front
them,
of
like,
me and eat them.
Like, yes. On a table.
That
I will
flavor,
try
another.
Flavor
let's
number
do,
three.
Let's do these two together. Believe me, sir. If I you would be both astonished and probably disgusted by how quickly I can eat a pint of ice cream. It's a thing.
I can understand. I can understand. I don't tend to go for ice cream that often.
I know why.
I don't know.
Oh, dairy. You are you.
No,
you
I'm not.
Why? Ooh,
we got non dairy ice cream.
Yeah,
stuff.
Halo it's Top. Not, have you seen those?
Yes, we have some Halo Top
I tried,
right now.
Which one did you try?
My favorite one is there's a chocolate banana. Tastes straight up like the Astro Pop from the ice cream truck, man. Those are killer.
The Astro Pop?
Yeah, not the red, white, and blue Astro Pop, but the chocolate and banana Astro Pop.
Oh, okay.
It tastes just like those.
Really?
Except it's made with like coconut milk or something like that.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
I tried a gingerbread cookie one.
Okay.
I bought a gingerbread cookie one for me to try and then bought for the wife a birthday cake.
Birthday cake is good.
Really?
Yes.
Because to me and my wife, birthday cake tasted like Play-Doh.
Whoa. Really?
And we threw that crap out.
But
she,
was the...
She liked the gingerbread cookie
the gingerbread
one.
Cookie
she didn't
cookie
like it
cool?
like She didn't like
okay.
it enough for me to buy
I'm
it
down
again.
With, I'm down with birthday cake. I've had birthday cake. It's good. They do also have a dairy birthday cake that's actually quite a bit better.
Well, I
personally,
mean,
I think it's better. The consistency of the...
Yeah, because
one of the things I'm kind of down on is you'll find ones that are made with almond milk, and then you'll find ones that are made with coconut milk.
And the consistency is different.
The consistency, and you can taste the coconut aftertaste. I can taste, like, I taste the coconut aftertaste in, like, coconut milk or whatever, in coconut-based dairy alternatives, much more than I taste the almond aftertaste.
Okay.
For some reason, the almond aftertaste just gets masked better by the flavors you put in it.
And maybe it also may be more of a pleasant aftertaste as opposed to a sharp. I wouldn't say pleasant's the wrong word. More of a dull aftertaste as opposed to the sharp aftertaste that you're going to get with coconut.
Yeah. Coconut is a very, like, you know, flavor. Yeah. There is, coconut resonates a lot more after you have
now,
it.
I've tried various, low calorie, low sugar, low fat ice creams before.
You give
and
it
they
a
just,
shot.
They
you
just
know?
Don't measure up entirely. Because I'm like, I'm a Häagen-Dazs and Ben & Jerry's type of guy. Ben & Jerry's, though, is a little difficult for me because I have to find the right mix because I don't like the multi-texture stuff. So if there's junk in my ice cream, it bothers me a little bit.
Okay.
So like.
Oh, really?
Well,
oh,
like, man. One of my favorite ice cream flavors is cookies and cream. I love cookies and cream ice cream.
Right.
But I don't like eating cookies and cream ice cream. Because there's the big chunks of freaking cookie in there, and it's a different texture.
I love
different
those.
Whole thing. See, now,
I'm down on like Moose Tracks and like peanut butter cup ice cream.
Yeah, see, I really love like frozen yogurt that's cookies and cream flavor because it's one consistency all the same through, and you get the same flavor.
One thing I'm all about too is they make one. Halo Top does have it. I've had it. It is a non-dairy, and it's made with almond milk, and I swear I've had it like once. It's the chocolate with peanut butter swirl in it. It's chocolate ice cream with peanut butter swirled into it.
I can deal with some swirl sometimes. Like,
not peanut butter ice cream. It's just straight up peanut butter in it.
Ben & Jerry's puts out every year a pumpkin cheesecake ice cream.
Ooh.
It's pumpkin cheesecake flavor, and then it's got a graham swirl in it. Like a graham pepper swirl in it. Oh, dude, I go through like three or four of those every holiday season.
All right.
Like everybody else has their people buy their eggnog and their, you know, their cookies and their candies of different kinds. I from right around Thanksgiving till after Christmas, I am buying pumpkin cheesecake Ben & Jerry's, and
I get
the crap out of those.
I always do, like when the holidays come around, my big deal is like I always get the spiked eggnog. I try everybody's spiked eggnog.
I see, I'm not an eggnog fan. It's just too
not
thick.
A regular eggnog, and they do have nog alternatives. So what I end up doing is I always like head to I head to quote unquote bigger box liquor stores like Total Wine or something, because the thing about Total Wine is they actually work with local places from across the country. So the small wineries, the small bottling.
You can get some small batch stuff that's from
killer.
Pennsylvania or something.
Yeah.
And get it here because of the buying power.
And nobody knows who it is, but it's like killer quality stuff for 75% of what a big box equivalent would be a lot of the time. So I love that stuff. But I always go to them and I find the really good brandy.
Okay.
And then I take that and I throw it in like some almond eggnog.
Okay.
And that's where I go, man.
It's just a thickness issue. Eggnog is just such
a almond nog or
drink,
whatever.
To me. And it feels like I'm chugging snot. So,
well, okay, yeah.
Although I've been there with
that's
few
the thing about eggnog.
Beverages.
It's raw egg white, so it's like got a mucousy consistency to it. And I can understand that, but when you're talking like it's done with like almond instead. You
still
don't get that sliminess.
Still, it's
creamy, but it's not slimy.
I can see that. Because consistency, obviously, is a major issue for me.
For sure. Yeah.
Like the idea of people putting fruit in their cereal. What the hell is that about? I have enough trouble with marshmallows in my cereal. Freaking fruit in your cereal?
Come on, especially
bananas. Bananas are all soft and squishy, and you put those in milk and then
I'll have to. I'll have to. I got to disagree with you on that one.
So disgusting.
I'll throw some chopped up bananas in like Life cereal or something.
And see,
like
it's
that.
Funny. I can deal with pizza and all the various toppings as long as they're not too crunchy.
Yeah.
But like, Life cereal, such a Mikey.
Mikey. That was the first one that came to mind too. That's funny. I didn't even think about that one.
Well, it's one of your favorite cereals.
It is one of my favorites.
As we discussed on an earlier podcast.
Yes, indeed. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is good with bananas in it too.
I mean, I can see the flavor profiles working together. I can see that happening. But at the same time, it's just crunchy little squares of cinnamony goodness with squishy bananas. I just don't.
Squishy bananas.
They're squishy. They're just this. Although, interestingly, I can't eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch anymore. It's a funny you bring it up. Well, you know,
I've cocked my head to the side in confusion. You obviously can't see that, but I'm just going to tell people.
You know that I do have a few millennial hipster traits, just a couple.
Okay,
I have a couple of crappy hats that I wear that follow into either millennial or hipster cultural things. But I also am one of those people that that vapes.
Oh, okay,
vaping is a big deal for me. Yes,
boy,
I do it quite regularly.
You know what? I'm sure that I have habits that you would completely destroy logically, so I'm just going to leave you alone.
No, go ahead. Come at me with it. Come at me.
I've never been a fan of vaping.
That's okay.
I went to a family reunion recently, and like my great aunt was vaping, and she's like, she's like 78, and
sweet.
It's the weirdest
what was she
thing. I don't know. I don't know the vape thing.
Were they
vape culture?
Was it a boxy thing?
Although my cousin and my brother were vaping, and there were a bunch of people vaping.
Was it a boxy thing, or was it more of like a pen?
It was like one of the little, no, it wasn't a tiny pen. She had one of the, like.
One of the boxes? Holding
that, yeah, that thing took up a fist. Like, she ain't no lightweight.
No, that's nice. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, no, that's what you're talking about, yeah.
She's probably sub-ohming on that thing. Nice.
Yeah, she's what?
Sub-ohming.
I don't know what that means.
I know, because you're not a vapor.
Okay.
It has to do with the build of the coils.
I don't know how vape work.
Let me explain to you how vapes work.
Okay.
Basically, you have a coil of wire.
Okay.
That gets heated up. Mm-hmm. Either the coil is made. Typically, it's made. Most people buy pre-made coils.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the coil, this coil of wire is some kind of a. Typically, it's a cotton product that soaks up the juice.
Okay.
It soaks the juice into the cotton product. When the wire heats up from the battery, running a current through it,
okay,
it vaporizes the juice that has been soaked up into the cotton, and that's what's coming out is the vaporized. It's usually vegetable glycerin or what's the PG stand for? Basically, it's the same type of actual liquid delivery system that doctors use when they have you do some kind of an inhaled medication. Not the inhalers specifically, but like,
because that just shoots.
I'm sure you've seen where people are getting like a inhaling steam type treatment, inhaling mm-hmm. vapor type treatment.
Mm-hmm.
The suspension liquid that they use for people to do that they put the medication in
mm-hmm.
is the same stuff. It's propylene glycol. That's what it is. Propylene glycol or vegetable glycerin. Those are the suspension liquids. So it's you're basically inhaling the same rough liquids.
Propylene glycol is one of those.
Yes, it's used in antifreeze, but it's also used in food preparation.
Yes.
It's one of those things that just has some weird properties to it. But keep in mind, dihydrogen monoxide is used in antifreeze as well. And if you inhale it, it'll kill
you. Cannot equate propylene glycol with water. Don't you dare think that you
could,
can like just. No, you cannot equate them. Propylene glycol is not water. I'm not going to back down on that.
You can't drink it and mass quantities and be okay. But as far as using it for,
I don't know.
For
it depends on how many. It depends on how many shots of Fireball you had.
True, but no. It's the same kind of delivery system they use for inhaled medications in the same.
Interesting. Okay.
Factor. And then you have the flavoring that's added in, and then the nicotine amounts. And the nicotine amounts range from very high amounts of nicotine that's added into it, or very low amounts. For instance, I'm one of those people that has the lowest possible amount of nicotine that you can have in there, because it actually does make a difference in the flavor. And if you have no nicotine, it tastes kind of funny.
Okay, so I got a question for you.
There's a weird aftertaste. Yes,
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So people, I'm just going to state to you.
Go ahead.
Why I'm not a fan of vaping.
Which is and keep in mind
is that people are saying that it is an alternative to smoking.
No, it's not. Really.
People are saying, "Oh, I've quit smoking, I just vape now." You're in denial.
No, hold on. Now hold on.
Like that's what it comes off like.
Yes, but in the same way that people stop drinking because they found God. It's the same type of thing.
No, because the difference between the two is that one's a physical chemical.
Well, okay. You're right. The addiction to nicotine is typically still there. There are people who have used vaping to dial themselves down to an almost negligible amount of nicotine.
Like, I've never seen somebody that vapes and then quits vaping because they've finally gotten less nicotine.
Well, because what they've done is they've reduced the nicotine the nicotine addiction, some of them can reduce the nicotine addiction to either like a 3 milligram or a 1.5. Like 1.5 is where I'm at. Three milligram is one of the other lowest, more common lowest settings. You have to buy specialty stuff to get the 1.5 because that's really low.
Okay.
But three is usually the most common low number that you get. Most smokers, when they start coming off of smoking, smokers who try to use vaping as a way to stop smoking,
right,
typically will start at like 12 milligrams of nicotine,
right,
in their bottle, and then move down to three. Eventually, the goal is to try to move down to nine, then to six, then to three. Slowly move yourself down.
Yeah.
The thing is,
I understand tapering yourself down.
Vaping is not going to stop the addiction to nicotine.
Right.
Vaping is a replacement for the addiction to nicotine.
Right.
That has less, now the words I'm saying are very, very careful.
Okay.
Less proof at this point, because it's still such a young thing. There's still not a whole lot of long-term studies done on it.
Okay.
So I know that there may be a possibility that long-term studies show later that there's more damage that it does than what we've been able to show in any short-term studies.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to be realistic about this. I understand that we may see stuff later that shows that it's worse than what we think it is. But at this point, vaping has been proven in the studies they've done to do less damage to your body than what the chemicals that you inhale from smoking cigarettes do. So what it is, it's a way to manage the addiction to nicotine by reducing the nicotine amount and reducing the carcinogens that you're inhaling into your body.
Okay.
Is it getting off of cigarettes completely, or is it getting off of nicotine completely? No. You're replacing another nicotine source, very much like the gums do, and your nicotine gums and nicotine patches. You're replacing it with a different source of nicotine that is at this point deemed to be a healthier delivery system of the nicotine than what you're getting from the cigarettes, because the nicotine was only one part of what you got with the cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with all the various carcinogens from just the burning of living product, burning of the leaves of the tobacco.
Right.
That's already putting different chemicals into you.
Right, totally.
And damaging your body.
Yeah.
And then you have all the different preservatives and other things that they put into the tobacco to be able to give it a long shelf life.
Okay.
All of these things are being vaporized and inhaled when you're smoking the cigarettes. So what vaping gives you is, again, at this point with the current studies that have been done, a healthier alternative to your nicotine delivery system, while also taking care of, and this is the key, taking care of some of the psychological components that are added to the cigarette addiction. Because not only is the addiction to the nicotine and the actual, the ingesting into your body of the nicotine and just the chemical parts of it. There's the actual physical act of doing the smoking, the inhaling of a vapor, having something in your hand, having something in your mouth.
Yeah.
All of these things are part of that addiction that the vaping helps to give in a way that the gum and the cigarettes don't. They mimic much of the experience of smoking so that you can tackle both the physical addiction of the nicotine and the psychological ceremony, almost the psychological things that come with it, in a way to try to have a healthier delivery system for your nicotine. Is it getting people off of nicotine completely? Some people maybe, but that I don't think that that's where its real help is in.
Yeah, I haven't seen somebody do that yet.
I haven't seen somebody
quit vaping.
No, because quite frankly, if you've been smoking forever and that's been for a good portion of your life, and you have all that psychological stuff involved in it, you have the nicotine addiction involved in it. To break away from it completely is very difficult to do.
Yes, I'm not trying to downplay that at all. I understand that it's an extremely difficult process.
To have something that's an even moderately healthier alternative that still gives you that can fill all of those, again, those psychological, those physical needs that you have for having had the addiction already.
Right.
It's an easy way to deal with it. It's an easier way to deal with it.
And
it
can, I can give you that on.
And that's why I can see the people still continuing vaping, is it still fills all those needs. And more importantly, here's my question. You've never seen them stop vaping.
Right.
How many people have you seen that have been smoking cigarettes, that have gone to vaping, that have gone back to smoking cigarettes?
Well, I have seen some people do that.
There are some.
Yes.
But there are some that haven't.
Well, here's the thing.
So for some people,
I will see
it can
people.
Work.
Here's the issue that I take with that. I have seen people that go from smoking to vaping.
Yeah.
And then when their vape pen runs out, they go get a pack of cigarettes.
Well, and part of that is because they
bum a stogie from somebody else.
And part of that is it has to do with the method in which they do it. For instance, the method that I use for vaping, mm-hmm. I have a more expensive dual battery. They call them mods. Mm-hmm. The box that you use for that's the actual that does all the work. Basically, it has the computer chips in it. It holds the batteries.
Okay.
It's what transfers the power into the coils.
Okay.
And then I have like a pretty heavy duty tank that has the coil in it, and you put the juice in.
Okay.
And up until recently, I actually rebuilt my own coils. I'd make my own coils.
Oh, cool.
With wire. Just wrap the wires. Get them in. You have an ohm meter to check what kind of ohms are going through the, mm-hmm. the coils. You probably know the electrical side of that better than I do. I just know I need to hit certain numbers, and I have to wrap the coil a certain number of times to hit those numbers.
Yeah.
And those numbers work perfectly for me. And then I dial in the machine to send a certain wattage through the coils mm-hmm. to give me what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Yeah. I can understand.
My system
just generating
is a much
heat
more,
inside of a tiny little
yeah,
compartment.
My system is a more advanced system, and you pay a little bit more for the more advanced. Mm-hmm. The pins, when they run out like that, those are definitely cheaper methods. If you want to be, I would say if somebody's wanting to be successful, stopping smoking cigarettes by using vaping to replace their cigarette smoking, mm-hmm. I would say it's worth the investment of getting a decent mod and a decent tank. Especially because it's cheaper than getting a decent mod and tank is cheaper than buying a full carton of cigarettes anymore.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, you can buy a decent mod and tank for like $60. You can't buy a carton of cigarettes for $60 anymore. I'm not talking a pack. I'm talking a full carton.
No, I understand.
You can't
question
buy it for that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Before going back to what I was talking about earlier, yeah. I can understand the possibility of it being useful. I've never seen the execution actually happen that way.
No,
and as far as, yeah. Here's the thing, it's nice to hear from you that, I mean, I still I've never seen the example. From this point, I can't necessarily consider it because it's such a young,
it's still a young
practice that I don't understand where people will call themselves that they have quit smoking because they're vaping, even though they're not lighting up something on fire and breathing smoke into their lungs.
I think part of that is and people wanting
that's just
victories
not to,
for things.
Not to overcount people that use like nicotine gum and stuff.
No.
I had my stepdad actually quit smoking using nicotine gum.
Yeah.
But he did it multiple times before he finally quit. And when he did, he used nicotine gum and then swapped it with regular gum. And it does take care of a nervous habit that he still buys regular gum.
Yeah, it took care of the oral fixation part of the mm-hmm. of the habit.
Now, I understand the vaping does take care of that portion of it.
But it's still not
a replacement.
No, it's not really a replacement for – the thing is it can be a replacement just like your dad was able to transition from the nicotine gum to regular gum and be able to still use that as kind of enough of getting that oral fixation, getting that
right.
that obsession with something happening in the mouth down.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
do they have a nicotine-less vape?
Yes.
They do?
Oh, yeah. You can get vape with no nicotine. That's what I was saying. You can get vape with zero nic.
Oh.
Completely zero nic. You can have no nicotine. It tastes different. I will say that.
I would understand that.
It leaves a weird aftertaste in your mouth. It feels almost thin
okay.
when you're vaping it. But,
well,
yeah,
that makes sense. The nicotine is a tar.
You can get completely zero nic juice.
Huh.
No problem.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, so I mean...
Okay, so there are those alternatives. This is something that I'm not necessarily...
Well, no,
like, this is a culture I'm not privy to.
I can say I started vaping specifically to give myself a low-grade nicotine addiction. Now, most people think that's crazy, but I didn't want to start smoking. I was at a point in my life where I was having a lot of stress in my life, a lot of things going on. I was worried about smoking.
Doesn't nicotine drive up your stress level and your blood pressure?
Yes and no. It can either give you more stress or it can actually be soothing for people.
I mean, don't get me wrong. So does drinking.
Yes.
And I drink. So, I'm not trying to go pot kettle here, but
drinking can act in both ways. It can make you, for the time that you're doing it, it can act as kind of a euphoric type thing.
Yeah. But
and then afterwards it's where the things hit.
Well, yeah,
so
exactly.
It's
you can't imagine you're actually, if you think you're sleeping well, you're not sleeping well.
But I, I was worried at that point that because of the pressures that were happening in my life, I would start smoking. Cigarettes necessarily.
Desire to smoke, but wanted to curb that as much as possible.
Yeah, and you know from previous that I'm a cigar smoker occasionally, and I'm a pipe smoker occasionally.
Yeah.
And I didn't want either one of those to become more habitual than they are.
No, because those are powerful as hell.
I was worried too much about, again, the smoking concept of it. I was worried that I was going to be smoking my pipe more, smoking my cigars more, or deciding to get into cigarettes and smoking cigarettes to try to have something to fill that time and that need of something.
That's understandable. I can understand using that as a way to curb something that you kind of foresee.
Yeah,
respectable, actually. That's very respectable.
To, I felt, kind of get control of it before it became an issue.
Yeah, totally.
Before it happened, and that's why I started doing it.
Cool. Okay.
And so,
all right, I can get behind that.
Now, you know what? I am going to give you a first, Mike.
What was that?
I don't even know why we got on the topic of vaping.
We've just kind of been rolling.
That was funny. That's fun. Well, normally, you know, I can come back to the conversation and know where the conversation was.
I believe we started with pizza.
Well, there was that. I was mentioning vaping as being a millennial and hipster thing, but I don't know why. Who cares?
You said vaping you said something else you did that was millennial hipster. I think you said something about funny hats.
Yeah, I have a few hats that would maybe fall under millennial or hipster.
What kind of hats?
It's not quite a fedora style hat. It's got a little bit bigger brim than the fedora style. Oh, okay. You remember the kind I used to wear back when we were working at Blockbuster?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I still have one of those.
Yeah, but you were doing that before it was like a hipster thing. Oh, my God. You were hipster before hipster.
You don't even know, bro. You don't even know. I've told you before, square donuts. Square donuts.
Square donuts.
Where the donut is square and there's a donut hole in the middle that's square.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had that idea in high school. It's in my yearbook, my senior year yearbook. I have a friend that actually drew a picture of a square donut in there. Anyway, he drew a picture of the square donut in there. I had this wonderful idea. Watching Food Network one day, some dude in New York City had square donuts in his freaking donut place.
You're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Could have made a fortune.
1 month before I went to see a movie, I only went to see it because... only got to see the movie because I was in watching the movie The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
We watched The Mummy because it was one of the first movies to have the episode one trailer on it.
Nice.
This was back in the days, kids, before you could find trailers for movies on YouTube or anywhere online. Uh-huh. So you had to go to movie theaters to watch the trailers.
Or you had to rent a movie.
Or you had to rent a movie to watch the trailers.
See the previews or fast forward through them.
So... went to watch The Mummy near the end of The Mummy, where like they're trying to get back to Hymenoptera, and the mummy is like a big tornado thing in the sky.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they're flying a plane, and the film caught on fire and burned. Oh wait, no, it wasn't The Mummy. I am sorry, it was not The Mummy. That happened in The Mummy, but it was another movie we were watching that day.
Tornado?
No, that had the film burn.
Oh, okay. What was that?
Film burned at roughly about the 2/3 of the way through the film. It was in the exact same theater too. That's hilarious. It was actually Wing Commander.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Wing Commander. That was the one that was the PC game series that was turned into a film series.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. and Matthew Lillard.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh.
So beautiful.
Not since Scooby-Doo has there been such a powerful duo.
This is pre-Scooby-Doo.
Oh, this is pre-Scooby-Doo. Oh, yes. Man. This is like...
This is
on the heels of Starship Troopers and stuff, right?
Well, they weren't in Starship Troopers.
No, they weren't, but...
Okay.
No. Starship Troopers was like Casper Van Dien and like a lot of those other...
MPH.
Oh, that's right. MPH was in there.
MPH is in there. Oh, God, the Kurgan. Mr. Krabs. Can't
really?
Think of his name. Yes. The Kurgan and Mr. Krabs are the same person. You know that, right?
No.
Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yeah.
Same guy.
Wow.
Same guy that's the Kurgan from Highlander is the voice of Mr. Krabs.
Really?
Yeah, he's Drill Sergeant Dim. Or Zim. Yeah.
Oh, bald guy?
No, the drill sergeant that throws the knife into Jake Busey's hand.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Mr. Krabs.
Why do we need a knife in a nuke fight? Put your hand on the wall. Yes, that's the voice of Mr. Krabs.
That's awesome.
Anyway, though, it was Wing Commander we were watching.
Yeah.
Film burns. We leave that theater.
This theater sounds like a terrible theater.
It was the old Movies 8 in Yuba City.
Oh, that's the one I saw Lord of the Rings at.
The old Movies 8, before they rebuilt it.
Oh, never mind. No, I saw it after it was rebuilt.
We race from Movies 8, which if you remember roughly where that was, same mm-hmm. location as the new one is, mm-hmm. but we race from Movies 8 all the way to Plumas Street.
Okay.
Because the theater there on Plumas Street was still working at that time.
Did you go to watch the rest of Wing Commander?
No, we went to watch another movie that was starting right then.
Oh, cool.
And it also had the episode one trailer. So we got to see the episode one trailer twice in one day. But we went to go see this movie, and this is an amazing movie. We were watching, and we were just like, whoa.
What was it?
It was The Matrix.
As I'm watching this movie, I actually kind of wanted to guess The Matrix.
And the first bullet time sequence happens with the whole bendy backwards and crap.
Oh, and you saw that in the theater.
And I'm looking at my friend Rob, and he's looking back at me because a month earlier, I had talked about how doing a filming in a full room that was green screen room,
yeah,
with cameras mounted at 3-foot intervals all over the floor, all along the walls, all along the ceiling, so that you could film a scene from all these different angles and cut between the different angles.
Wow.
To get and have, more importantly, each of these camera rigs put at 3-foot intervals would mm-hmm. have three separate cameras filming at the time, because this is back in the days of analog filming with the cameras, nothing yeah. digital yeah. happening at this point. Where each,
well, digital was just in post.
Yeah. Where the three cameras, right? Mm-hmm. Three different cameras filming the same scene mm-hmm. from roughly the same angles. Angle of them should be looking at roughly the same angle mm-hmm. at three different film speeds. So you could alternate between film speeds.
Okay.
So you could speed it up, slow it down. Because at that time, if you wanted to make action look that way, you had to film at three different speeds at a time. Or multiple speeds. You had to change the speed of the camera that you're filming to make things look faster. Okay. Because the digital technology to do that hadn't come up to that point yet.
Right.
I have this idea. We watch this movie, and I'm just looking at him like, now, admittedly, the Wachowskis came up with the idea like 2 years before I did when they were right. making the movie. But at the same time, I'm a 18-year-old kid living in, you know, the middle of Northern California
yeah.
coming up with these thoughts and ideas. And I'm like, damn it. Everybody's stealing my wonderful ideas. You didn't get to see The Matrix Threats. In the theater?
I did not.
It was a thing, especially then. It was a thing. I've seen some good ones in the theater, though. I saw Fight Club in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the stuff I caught on rental after it came home.
Well, in Fight
Honestly,
Club,
again, I don't see a lot of movies out in the theater
well,
anymore.
Fight Club, early years of the internet. So watching Fight yeah. Club, then it was such a shocker because there was very little in the way of spoilers to let you know what the heck was going on.
Yeah. The first time I watched Fight Club and I had no real knowledge of it, I was just kind of watching the movie.
And it was just like, what just happened?
Didn't read the book.
What the heck?
Holy Didn't have anything crap. To go by? Yeah.
That's one that actually, I can't say for sure that the book is better. I can say the book is a different experience.
Interesting.
But even the author of the book has said about the same thing, that it's just a different experience.
Oh.
He doesn't say the movie is, he says there's some things the movie did better and some things he feels were a little better in his book, but for the most part, just different experiences, the way he kind of chalks them up.
Interesting.
But okay. The same thing has been said recently about the, I don't know if you have caught the Good Omens series on Amazon.
No.
That was
based Good on Omens the, is the new...
Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. They wrote the book originally.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's got David Tennant and Michael Sheen in it.
Yeah.
I believe Terry Pratchett is dead, but Neil Gaiman has said that it's a pretty good, well, it's not exactly faithful adaptation. It's a really good adaptation. It's got its own kind of life to it. It's its own separate entity.
Cool. All right.
That's really neat. But yeah, you haven't seen that one yet? You have Amazon Prime?
I do.
You should watch it. I think it's a 6-episode long series. It's got some really dark humor. It's very interesting though. Very interesting.
Cool.
When you do, go order you some pizza. With a lot of meat on it.
Dude, you just talking about the pizza at the beginning makes me really want pizza.
I know. Funny enough, I've been craving it for weeks. The one night that I had it here,
yeah,
it was like feeding into that craving because I'd been craving it for about 2 weeks before that.
Nice.
And it's just, I don't know what it is, but right now I'm totally obsessed with pizza.
Yeah. I get it.
I've been obsessed with hamburgers before, but I actually almost today, I'm going to get myself in trouble for admitting this, but almost today I went to that California institution to the California institution to get the hamburger to try it again. It's been years, so I was going to give it a whirl again. But their line was way too full, so I went and got my nuggets instead.
Oh,
so
I can understand that.
Food stuff.
Cool.
That's why I had the nuggets here.
Yes.
To be eating. But so I have some interesting information for you.
What's that?
This is going to be a weird podcast.
Yes, it is.
Because it's not going to have a break at all.
No, we're just going. Why not?
We're not going to put a break in.
Album 25, no break.
Yes.
Album 25. Album 25. Podcast 25, no break. Album 25. What's wrong with me?
How much time do you have? I can make a list.
No, I'm good.
Did it take you a second to get the joke there? Yep. Here, I'm going to set this joke down. You pick it up whenever you're ready to. That was a good one earlier. Yeah. But no. Let's see. Where are we at now? Movies. TV shows.
Pizza.
Food. Do we need to go back to food?
I mean, we can.
We talked to the Subway, right? We got all the Subway order down.
We did. We did so, do the Subway thing.
People remember, if you're ever wanting to bring Subway for Mike and James, food, that's the Subway.
Food you would eat while high. We did that one.
Food you would eat while high. Yeah.
Stoner meals in general.
All the cereal.
There was that. All of the cereal. I could, dude, all of the cereal, that I never thought about that, and now I'm probably going to.
Probably, at some point. Yeah. You may just try it for the hell of it. You know what? The pizza, and even we talked about ice cream, it reminds me of working at our old Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best parts about working there was the pizza place that was right there in the parking lot. The round table that was there.
I was going to say it was a round table.
And I personally love round table.
I love Round Table too. My wife is not a fan of Round Table.
She doesn't like the sauce, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the sauce is really it's pretty spicy.
It's got a brightness to it.
There's something I like about that sauce though. It's good sauce. Good pizza sauce.
I like it because it's normally I like a little bit of pizza crust, mm-hmm. but they don't really have the crust on around the end. It goes the toppings kind of go to the edge.
At Round Table?
Yeah, there's only
it depends
a little
on which
tiny...
crust you get. There's a sourdough crust that's fantastic.
No.
No?
I get the regular crust.
Oh man.
But I just like the composition of their stuff. The sauce, yeah, it's a little spicy, mm-hmm. but it's not too heavy. The cheese is good. I love the various toppings that they have. But I love that one specifically. For some reason, that one tastes better than the other ones in the area that are up there in the Marysville-Yuba City area.
Is it still there?
Oh, it's still there. Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Oh, yes, I got to take a trip.
But remember what was right next door to it?
No.
Well, not right next door, like a building or two down. There was a California yogurt. I don't know what the name of the place is now. It's still a yogurt place.
I don't think I ever went there.
It had ice cream and frozen yogurt in it. And it was the best thing to go get some pizza and then go to get frozen yogurt afterwards. Every Thursday was cookies and cream.
Damn, I guess it was a far more bomb shopping center than I remember.
Well, you remember getting Chinese food and sandwiches out of Bel Air, don't you?
Dude, the Chinese food was really good.
The Chinese food was good. The sandwiches were amazing there.
Sandwiches were good, too.
Give me some turkey sandwich there. Mm-hmm. So good. They had that Dutch crunch bread. You know the Dutch crunch bread?
I don't remember the Dutch crunch bread. Mm-mm.
Go to like a Raley's or a Bel Air or something. You can get the Dutch crunch bread.
There's one close.
It's literally got like a crunchy exterior to it, and it's almost sweet on the outside.
Oh, dude.
Make some really good Sammies.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Really good Sammies. Yeah, all I'm doing is filling Mike's head with, it's almost dinner time. I need to have dinner.
Dude.
I want some dinner. Dinner, dinner, dinner.
Oh.
Is that all you're thinking
about?
He's
making me hungry, man.
Hey, it happens. Gotta eat.
Gotta eat.
Gotta eat.
Eating's important. I had some good lunch today.
What'd you have for lunch today?
I went to, there's a place called Sino's. It's just an Italian restaurant in general. Okay. Had a really good spaghetti bolognese. It's really good.
Okay, cool.
And the wife had a really killer grilled cheese sandwich. It was like grilled cheese. There were some bacon bits in it. It was on garlic bread.
Oh yeah.
You know, soup on the side. So we had minestrone too. Okay. Minestrone is one of my favorite soups.
I don't really think I've had a lot of minestrone soup.
Minestrone is like, I don't think I've ever had a bad minestrone. See, even canned minestrone. Okay, it's a little salty, but it's not bad.
I'm going to throw something at you. You're all with the hot dog and the ketchup and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you feel about grilled cheese with ketchup instead of tomato soup or the minestrone soup?
Did you say with ketchup instead of tomato
soup? Like more, normally people wouldn't have grilled cheese.
A bowl full of ketchup that you dip your grilled cheese in?
Well, not like a bowl full, but like an appropriate like dippable amount.
Like I mean,
dip your French fries.
Thing missing from that at that point is like a burger and some bacon. Why not?
Well, but
I'm willing to try anything.
See, I when I eat grilled cheese, I prefer to have ketchup instead of tomato soup. Just a little bit of ketchup to dip my grilled cheese in.
Okay,
I'm down with tomato flavor, but I don't like the tomato soup as much. This is like, it's a liquidy soup. To me, if a soup, to me, if a soup doesn't have...
Oh, dude, you should have tried the tomato soup that I had earlier today.
Does it have chunks of tomato in it?
Not so much chunks. No, not so much chunks. But it was beautifully pureed, and it was a lot creamier.
Okay. Because like normally tomato soup's kind of thin, and it's like drinking basically tomato juice. And I'm not a tomato juice guy. Oh, no.
This was not that. This was, it was good, like thick tomato soup. It was more like a bisque, I guess.
Okay.
But dude, they topped it with some, shredded Parmesan, or shredded Parmesan.
Because I'm a soup guy that likes like lots of stuff in my soup.
No, I get it. I can understand that. Like, see, this is why I like minestrone, but it's got to be good, like long, slow cooked pot minestrone.
Okay.
You know, pot cooked, kettle cooked or pot cooked
minestrone. Wait, doesn't minestrone have chunks of tomatoes in it too?
They're.
Because I might be out on that.
I don't, but you can make minestrone without it, but most of the time I find there's noodles, there's different types of beans in it. There's some other vegetables. Like I think there might be a little onion. It depends on where you go. There's celery in it.
I'm good with celery in it.
Because
I like just, making like a beef stew, which stew is slightly different.
Yeah.
But even like if I make a chicken noodle soup,
mm-hmm.
I have like, you know, noodle, chicken, celery in there, carrot in there, maybe some potato in there. I'll even put corn in there.
Yeah, I can see that. Same thing. That's
like,
killer.
Same thing when I do what's the southern chicken thing? That's like soup, but not really.
Tortilla soup?
No, southern.
Southern? That's deeper southern than you're thinking.
Like Paula Deen southern.
Oh,
not.
Bad not, example.
Not we don't need no stinking badges, Southern.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm trying to get you the idea here. Chicken and dumplings. There we go. Most purists with chicken and dumplings.
Paula Deen Southern.
Yes. I'm trying to make you understand below the Mason-Dixon line.
That did it.
Yeah. But most people who are purists with chicken and dumplings, their chicken and dumplings have chicken. And dumplings, and that's it. And I'm the guy who has like five or six vegetables in there. I'll throw green beans, again, corn, carrots, potatoes. I don't care.
I see some carrots in it. Carrots make sense. Celery would make sense.
I put celery in there. Corn actually makes a big deal in there. And so do green beans. I love having green beans in my chicken and dumplings.
Okay.
I don't know why it is. I just, for a fat guy, I actually like vegetables. I know. It's a shocker. Like Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts.
Oh, dude, Brussels sprouts. They're amazing. I'm not a fan of Brussels sprouts. Now that I think, sorry, I was. Depends I don't know on, why I was mistaking it with broccoli. I'm a fan of broccoli. Love the hell out of broccoli.
Have you had Brussels sprouts pan fried before?
What?
Pan fried.
I don't think I've ever had pan fried Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
I've had Brussels sprouts the same way as children, every kid that flipping hates Brussels sprouts.
Steamed and looking and feeling like snot.
Yeah.
No. Here's what you do. I do this on St. Patrick's Day. Instead of making the cabbage,
mm-hmm.
You know, most people do the corned beef, the cabbage, and the red potatoes.
You're making me hungry, bro.
I do the corned beef.
All right.
I do the red potatoes. Okay. Hey, by the way, I'm making you hungry. Welcome to my world. I'm always hungry. Moving on. I do the corned beef. I do the red potatoes. But instead of doing the cabbage,
okay.
I take Brussels sprouts. You have to get fresh ones for this. You can't get frozen pieces of crap.
All right.
Cut the Brussels sprouts in half.
Okay.
Okay. You take the flat side, which should be like the middle of it that you've made. And you're cutting it in half like here's the sprout vertically in half.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You cut it in half. You get a pan with, hell, use olive oil because olive oil, while it has a low smoke point, it's a little bit healthier as far as the oils go.
Okay.
It's best to use in bacon fat, but who has bacon fat lying around anymore? So use the olive oil.
Okay.
You just want to go on kind of medium temp.
Mm-hmm.
Put the Brussels sprouts in the pan.
Okay.
With the cut side down.
Okay. Yep.
Take a lid, mm-hmm. Lid the pan while you're cooking it.
Okay.
Now let it cook for a little bit. I'm going to say about 5 minutes or so, but it's not an exact time.
You're not adding anything to it. It's just straight up just Brussels sprouts and olive oil.
Olive oil. You can put a little salt and pepper.
Okay.
That's it. Pull off the lid, and you start checking your Brussels sprouts. See if they started to brown, because you want them to brown on one side. You don't want them to blacken. You just want them to brown.
Okay.
If they've all started to brown, flip them over.
Okay. Flat side up.
As you're flipping them over, kind of squeeze them with like whatever tongs you're using to flip them.
Mm-hmm.
See if they're starting to get a little soft. You don't want them too soft. You just want them a little soft.
Okay.
If they're not quite a little soft, take and put a little bit of water in there. Just a little bit.
Into the pan.
Into the pan.
Okay.
Put the lid back on. Now you're doing a little bit of steaming action. There you want to check it every 2 to 3
That'll
minutes.
That'll soften it. Okay.
You want to soften them up just a little bit and get them just soft enough where you can, like with a pair of tongs, squish them a little,
mm-hmm.
but not where you squish them and they just banana on you.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Banana's a good thing to use as a kind of too squishy for
Yeah. I can understand it.
You get them that little bit of squishy, pull them out, put a little bit more salt and pepper on them. Not a lot, just a little bit.
Okay.
Boom, there you go.
Huh. Okay.
They'll be just chewy enough that they'll have some chew to them, but again, soft. So they're not just like eating a hard leaf.
Okay.
But the flavor that comes out of them, actually really good. Now, you may still not like it, and that's fine. Because some people just still don't like Brussels sprouts. There's something about the flavor of them they don't like.
Right.
But if the texture has been the main turnoff for them, this is the way to get them with a good texture without having to worry about that soggy, mushy mess that usually comes out of them.
That's interesting.
That's my way of going about having Brussels sprouts. That's the first way I ever had them because I never had them as a kid. They weren't allowed in my house as a kid. So...
Oh.
Hey, having the mom that puts ketchup on a taco and ketchup on their eggs and whatnot, that
ketchup on the eggs doesn't sound so bad to me.
That does seem kind of weird.
On a taco, man.
I know.
You guys didn't have no taco sauce sitting in the house?
No.
What?
The ground beef for the tacos had like salt and pepper in it, maybe a little garlic salt in it. Because garlic salt was in everything.
Did you throw the damn taco sauce on top of the
Was no taco sauce. Taco sauce
but
did
it's
not
for tacos.
Exist. It didn't exist in the house. Did not exist.
Your mom was incorrect.
Yes. I am not disagreeing with you on that. The only thing my mother made correctly as a food item was probably her chicken fried steak. And even that was a little oversalted.
Oh, okay.
But she actually, my father still has the plate that she would use to beat the chicken, the steak, to mm-hmm. tenderize it for chicken fried steak. Have you ever made chicken fried steak, sir?
It's been a very, very long time.
The real key to good chicken fried steak is you have to tenderize the meat well enough and have it soak in milk with the acids that are in milk.
I'm not confused at the... I am not.
The fact that she used a plate,
instead
she used the edge of
a
plate instead of like a meat mallet or something like that.
She used the edge of so she
edge
would
of a plate. Take
so
the plate.
She would beat raw chicken with a plate, like
no, not chicken,
chicken
not
on
chicken,
cutting
not
board.
Chicken, beef.
Oh, I'm sorry, chicken fried steak. I'm sorry.
Beef.
So she would beat the beef with a plate.
The edge of a plate. Yes.
Oh, the edge of a plate.
Edge of a plate.
Why didn't you have? You didn't have a meat tenderizer?
Yes, we did. But she used the plate.
But that was the... Okay, did you ever use the plate for anything else? No,
nope.
I'm curious.
That plate was only used for doing chicken fried steak.
That was the meat beating plate.
Let me tell you something. When you had your chicken fried steak, guess what? You could cut it with a fork, which is the mark of a good chicken fried steak. A good chicken fried steak, you should be able to cut with your fork. If you need to use a knife to cut chicken fried steak, it is not made right.
I can agree with that.
The meat is not tenderized enough.
I can agree with that.
Because it needs to be super, super tender for it to be right.
There's actually... I had chicken fried steak just up the street from here at a small cafe that they charbroil their stuff. It wasn't charbroiled chicken fried steak.
You do not charbroil chicken fried steak.
No,
sir.
But they do know how to cook any steak. Like their sirloin, they're like 6 ounce sirloin. That's the best sirloin I've had in town.
This would be a place I'd have to try a porterhouse and see how it is.
If they have a porterhouse, I'm not sure. It's not like a large, it's a cafe. It's not like a...
Well, and they at least have a T-bone, which is the same cut of meat, just a smaller portion of
they
it.
They may have that. I think they actually do. But it's a cafe. It's not like a full grill, but I'll be damned if that isn't like the best steak in town.
Well, you say chicken fried steak, I may have to try it because that's
But the chicken fried steak is soft enough to cut with
fork. Well, that's my go-to whenever a place calls itself a diner.
Mm-hmm.
If a restaurant says I'm a diner.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, I'm gonna go in there, and first thing I'm gonna order is a chicken fried steak, because to me that's a diner food product.
Gotcha.
And if chicken fried steak doesn't come out right, or if I can tell that it's a frozen one that they just unfreeze and plop in the fryer,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell the gravy is some canned or boxed or bagged gravy that they just mix. Okay, you're not a real diner; you just pretend to be a diner.
Well, at that point, I would probably take you to Kim's.
Kim's?
Yeah, Kim's Country Kitchen's just up the street.
We're going to have to find some places to eat, sir.
Yeah, man.
We're going to have to make a point of it.
Boy, how have I not introduced all these places to you? There's Mexican restaurants out here that are fantastic. And I'm talking like the little greasy hole-in-the-wall grills.
Oh, yeah.
Not like the, I mean, don't get me wrong, Chihuahua Mexican's fantastic. I love that kind of stuff. Like, there's a place called Casa Ramos out here.
Dude, in this area. I just, you know. I mean, I'm waiting until like the apocalypse to start eating dogs. I just want to let you know that.
Not that kind of Chihuahua. Damn it. But yeah.
Which, like, actually, I don't really know the difference between the various regions of Mexico and their different food stylings. I only know that because
that was told to me by a guy who ran a Chihuahua Mexican restaurant. He's like, oh, that's this style.
Yeah.
I was like, so there's Mexican. And then I was like, is it Jalisco Mexican food? They're like, yes. I went, oh, so the Jalisco grills, all called Jalisco Grill. It's not a business name. It's the style of the food.
Well, it's like,
you know, the greaseball place that takes Polaroids of their stuff and then blows them up and throws them on the wall. Like, you know, they take their own pictures, their own food that they cook in the restaurant. Those kinds of places. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Kind of.
Okay, so that's more like a Jalisco type grill.
Okay.
But yeah, those are a completely different style of Mexican food than the Mexican food that you'll find that's like in the super nice place that like sits you down and like takes your order and that kind of stuff.
I know, like
an Italian restaurant or something.
There's multiple types of Chinese food restaurants.
Yeah.
If you get to a place that's actually cultured enough to have multiple types of Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what we eat is basically the fast food version, like the McDonald's version of Chinese food.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, a real hamburger looks nothing like the hamburgers that you get really at McDonald's.
Right, right.
And that's kind of how the Chinese food we eat, places like Panda and stuff like that, which means they're still good. It's like McDonald's still has things that are good, but it's not the true.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you go there and you come to terms with the fact that you're not getting what's in the commercial.
Well, it's not even that. It's you're not getting what people are actually eating in China.
You're not getting the same food they're
eating there.
Uh-uh, so, absolutely not.
But, all right, sir.
Well,
you know what's funny?
This is a strange conversation.
You know what's really funny about this?
What's this?
You were concerned an hour and 12 minutes ago that if we just started talking about things, we wouldn't be able to fill a podcast. Well, guess what? We did.
Well,
This is one of the more amusing ones that we've had because it's just been kind of a... People listening, for some of you, this will sound familiar because this is literally what a conversation between me and Mike sounds like on a regular basis. This is just how we talk about things.
Yeah, I guess this is a good theme for what I guess it's kind of a milestone episode, 25 in.
Yeah,
and you know, it's a good theme, just like, hey, this is what we just talk about in general when we're not trying to have like specific subject matters in mind.
This is what happens for at least 45 minutes before we start recording a podcast and possibly 45 minutes after we record a podcast.
Yeah.
We just have conversations like this. Guess what? You just got a little insight on how James and Mike conversate with each other on a regular basis. Hope you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Hope we've made you all hungry too.
Right?
I know I'm going to be fighting myself on whether to grab food before I get on my way home.
Now I got to go beg my wife to see whether or not we're going to have pizza. I don't know yet. You put the bug in my ear, man.
Sorry. Hey, keep in mind they have a deal on Monday nights. $8.99 one topping pizza, I think.
Oh my!
Yeah, it's only a one topping, but still $8.99. That's not bad.
That's the place we were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh
it's
man!
Got that Monday night special.
Oh, that's right.
It's also got the other special for like $23 something. You can buy a large three topping and then a large one topping. But honestly, I don't think you need both pizzas because you don't subscribe to my pizza eating philosophy. One large is enough for you and your wife.
Yeah.
One large is barely enough for me, but that's all right.
I mean, we'll still have a couple of pieces to eat the next day, but we're not going to feed ourselves for a week on that.
One large would not feed me for a week.
No,
I eat a lot of pizza.
One large would feed me for a week.
That's because you don't have my philosophy. Anything less than three pieces is not worth your time and effort, sir.
Oh, okay.
Anything more than six pieces is you know, applause.
Oh, okay. I stop. I max out at like four and I'm like, I can't do anymore.
I actually had one, I joke about it and you know, make light of it, but I actually had one night where I ate an entire large pizza at the round table, interestingly enough, by our old Blockbuster. I ate an entire large pizza myself. I was meeting some of my wife's family, uncles, aunts,
did they
like that.
Not show? And you're like, I've got all this pizza.
No.
I might as well do something about it.
No, they were there. And we had a bunch of pizza.
You ate the pizza in front of these people?
There was just a bunch of pizza. I was just nervous as hell. So I just kept eating pizza. It's one of the few times I was nervous because these were like important family members for her.
So you were.
So this is one of the first times I'm meeting them, and I was just normally I'm not very nervous about meeting family members and whatnot,
right?
But yeah, I think it had been a pretty roller coaster year or so meeting her family, and she has a very large extended family,
right?
Like half of the town of Live Oak, California, at one point was related to her in some way, shape, or form.
Holy smokes!
So she had a pretty large extended family.
Okay.
And I'd met a whole bunch of them in various situations that had been like, you know, a couple of holidays where too many people were crammed into way too small a space. Imagine a room the size of the room that we're doing this recording in. And like, actually, imagine a place the size of your house.
Okay.
And like 50 people in your house.
Yeah, no.
Yes, this is what was happening at these family.
That's a bunch of nope
gatherings.
From me.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Way too many damn people.
You can't even move around in
Not
there.
Not really, no. It was frightening. So this is just a dinner out at the pizza place, and there was just a pizza in front of me, and I just kept eating pieces of pizza, and just kept eating pieces of pizza, and the next thing I know, the whole pizza's gone.
You're like, now what do I do?
It was a weird night. It was the only time I've ever put down a full, large pizza by myself. And funny part is, I was like 180 pounds lighter than I am now.
Wow.
So I was like half of me.
Dang.
And I still put down that much pizza.
Hey, you know, sometimes you do extreme. People do extreme things in nervous, anxious situations, man.
It happened.
Yeah.
All right, sir. We'll wrap this up for the day. Do your normal. Where can people listen to us?
Well, you can listen to us on thezenialchronicles.com, or if you can't type that much or don't want to type that much, you can go to zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N.
By the way, hold on. We're 25 episodes in. People, bookmark us. Type it in one time.
Bookmark zenchron.com, damn it.
Just type it in the one time. Type the whole thing in the one time. Just for the fun of it. Just so you can get all those letters. Just so you can work on your typing skills for when you're doing your resumes. Because we all need to do some at some point.
Yeah.
Type it all in. Bookmark that thing. Come on. Give us the love. Move on.
Well, you could do that, or you could just look us up on the various podcasting apps that we have.
That too.
Such as TuneIn. We are on Google Podcast. We are also on Spotify. You also can check us out if you are looking us up on YouTube. You look up the Zenial Chronicles on YouTube, or Zenchron on Facebook, or Zenchron on Twitter. You can follow us on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel and hit the bell icon, and also like the video if you're hearing this on the video itself.
Yes.
That way you'll get notified next time we actually come up with another podcast. And yeah.
Also, feel free on YouTube and on Facebook to please comment or send us messages. We will respond to them. We'll also be more than glad to talk about anything on our podcast that you would like us to talk about.
Yeah.
Any topics? Well, not any topics. We still stay away from stuff that's too religious or too political, just so that we're not getting into those areas of offending too many people.
Yeah.
But otherwise, heck, you want us to talk about it? We will talk about it the best that we can, all right?
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed this little slice of conversation. Get yourself something to eat, and we'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.